to see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of the sun setting on the shore of the Atlantic comes to us from Bonnie Schultz, who shared this scene from near her home in Navarre, Florida, on social media back on February 25th. Well, it's Tuesday, and as the dust has settled on a mental health crisis in my home, I am praying to God to move all things together for good with my son Brennan, who is suffering from depression, and thanking the Lord for the systems of authority he had moved man to establish that protect us from ourselves. Early yesterday morning, while recording my podcast, the state police and county sheriffs came to my home based on a tip they received regarding suicidal statements made from my IP address, which caused me to escort Brennan to the local hospital and get a psych evaluation. I wasn't aware of Brennan's suicidal ideation. After a few appointments with a therapist, I thought my son was getting the help he needed and things were going to improve. But yesterday's emergency first responder visit made me realize that I had assumed wrongly and really tried to impress upon my son the need to get the help he needed. So I delivered him to the hospital with the expectation that he would be admitted and treated for depression. But my son is 22 years old, an adult, and after he was medically cleared, he was discharged into the care of his older sister, Jeanette, who lives with her husband in Troy. As much as I question the wisdom of this move, I am hoping that the shock of the hospital visit, the care and support of his sister and brother-in-law will be the beginning of positive changes for my son's mental health. Brennan stopped by yesterday to pick up some things and to let me know he was going to stay with his sister, and I wished him well. He didn't talk to me about this before he decided to do it, and I can only assume that he is angry with me for taking him and leaving him at the hospital. But I honestly thought that was what he needed, inpatient care. I don't take suicidal talk lightly, and my work and ministry schedule prevents me from being able from being able to watch him continuously, And as it is, even when we are at home at the same time, my kids and I do our own thing. We give each other privacy, and while that's normally a good thing, when there is the possibility of suicide, it's a recipe for disaster. So I'm happy that my son was discharged, I guess, but I'm glad that I am not happy that my son was discharged, but I'm glad that he's with his sister and brother-in-law who have a smaller home and who may be able to help him. I have offered my son the solutions I know that work, but he rejected them because my methods are Christian. He's not walking with the Lord. That's my personal help, okay, granted. But I also encouraged him to go to his doctor to possibly get medication to stabilize, and I forced the issue of getting help to the point he actually did see someone at mental health. But now this. And so I'm surrendering my son to the Lord and the care of his sister because I know that I can't fix him. And I know that he will have to decide to get help or change the way he thinks and lives to effectively deal with his depression. So I'm letting go and I'm letting God, knowing that I've not been a perfect parent and could have done more, I suppose, but also knowing that I tried to help my son, and now it's time to allow him to find his way. I often teach the men I minister to that we are to be problem solvers, doing everything we can think to do to make positive changes in the situations that surround us. But I temper that with the reality that we may not be able to solve all our problems or that they may take a long time to see any progress. And in those instances, we have to trust the Lord to guide things that are beyond our control. So I have to wait and see and be ready to give whatever help I can. And in the meantime, I'll thank God for all the good I have in my life that goes beyond this current crisis. When we have a trial, if we aren't careful, they can easily become all-consuming, stealing our peace and joy and negatively impacting our lives. But if we keep walking and talking with God and doing what we can and what's right, according to His Word, we can have peace even in the midst of troubles and trials. So I'll continue to do my daily spiritual practices that ground me in the truth of all that the Lord has done for me. And I'll give thanks to God for all the people He has put in my life that offer their prayers, help, and love when things go south. Yesterday, I was reminded how blessed I am with my wife, my family, and my brothers in Christ as I receive support and prayers in this time of need. And even when I was alone, waiting for a phone call from the hospital that never came, I wasn't alone. The Lord was with me and stayed with me while I foolishly relapsed on my food plan and regressed by comforting myself with candy and ice cream and watching secular TV. And even though the stress of the situation caused me to do something foolish, the Lord didn't abandon me. And today, I asked for His forgiveness and went back to the way He has taught me to stay in His presence and experience His peace through my daily spiritual practices that focus on Him. And despite this present turmoil, part of that practice is to encourage others to do the same, focus on Him. And we just happen to be in the best season for doing that, Lent. And speaking of Lent, it's the 30th day of Lent, and so we continue my personal walkthrough of Gracio Grendahl's 40-day journey with Martin Luther to observe and celebrate the Lenten season. In this walkthrough of Grendahl's devotional, it is our hope that we'll get to know Martin Luther a little better as we seek to draw closer to the Lord on our journey to Resurrection Sunday, or Easter. And so we continue with journey day 30. And Martin Luther writes, "May your will come about on earth as in heaven." What is this? Answer. In fact, God's good and gracious will comes about without our prayer. But we ask in this prayer that it may also come about in and among us. So here also, although we have prayed for what is most necessary, for the gospel, for faith, and for the Holy Spirit, that He may govern us who have been redeemed from the power of the devil, we must also pray that God will cause His will to be done. If we try to hold these treasures fast, we will have to suffer an astonishing number of attacks and assaults from all who venture to hinder and thwart the fulfillment of the first two petitions. And that's what Martin Luther had to say about that. And the biblical wisdom that's paired with it is Luke 22, 39 through 42, which says, "He came out and went, as was His custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed Him. When He reached the place, He said to them, 'Pray that you may not come into the time of trial.' Then He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down and prayed, 'Father, if You are willing, remove this cup from Me. Yet, not My will, but Yours be done.'" And at this point, our devotion directs us to sit in silence for meditation. And I would advise you can sit and just focus on your breath to get a moment's peace. Or you can reflect on what Martin Luther had to say about God's will being done and what Jesus had to say in Luke 22, 39 through 42. And when you're done meditating, we can go to the questions, which say, why does holding fast to the treasures of faith cause suffering and assaults? Well, since the fall of man in the garden, this world is ruled by the evil one, and the world system that operates beneath the surface of things causes people to question, doubt, and reject the truth of God's word. The spiritual forces of darkness and society at large will demonize those who choose to walk in the light with the Lord, tempting people to govern themselves and live independently of God. Being consumed by their selfish and fleshly desires, they will persecute those who stand in faith. Christ teaches that we should expect persecution and suffering in this world when we follow Him, because if the world hated Him, it will hate us too. And the next question is, Jesus prays to be spared drinking the cup of suffering, but prays also that God's will be done. Why does the doing of God's will often involve so much suffering? Doing God's will often involves suffering because of the enemy. Ephesians 6:12 tells us our enemy is not flesh and blood, and the spirit that rejects God's holiness, purity, and wisdom is demonic. And whether we oppose or join those forces, we will suffer attacks from them. And the last question is, Luther states that God's good and gracious will comes about without our prayer. Why pray then that it be done in among us? Well, we have free will, and we can foolishly choose to reject God's plan for our lives, our sanctification, and suffer from the consequences of sin and being separated from God. God's ultimate will comes to pass, but to be part of his kingdom and to reap the fruit of the Spirit, we must choose to follow God's will. Follow it. Anyway, that moves us along to a psalm fragment from our devotion, which is from Psalm 103, 19 through 22, where the Word of God says, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his host, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And that moves us on to journal reflections, where the first prompting says, "Have you ever felt you were suffering attacks from the powers or people that were trying to thwart the will of God? If so, write about what spiritual resources you were able to bring to the struggle. If not, what's best spiritual resources will you have if such an experience comes your way? Since doing recovery in freedom ministry, I have felt I was being attacked by the spiritual forces of darkness that were trying to thwart the will of God. The best in all kinds of ways. And the best weapons against these attacks are prayer, faith, praise, and a lifestyle of Christian discipleship. Our surrendered lives in Christ is the whole armor of God that helps us overcome the enemy. Our faith is the resource we can bring to the struggle." And the next prompting says, "Have you ever, like Jesus, prayed to have the cup of suffering pass from you? If so, write about the experience." Yes, I've prayed for things to be taken away from me in the past, and I would say that all the things that have afflicted me personally are gone now, for the most part. But to overcome them, I often had to suffer through them and grow through the suffering to be free. Alcohol addiction, sex addiction, broken relationships, getting a new home, food addiction, and now the struggle for my children's mental health and well-being could be said to fall within that ministry, within my ministry of suffering. And the final journal prompting says, "There are both joy and suffering for those who seek to follow God's will. Journal about the joy and suffering you've experienced in your faith. In all those aforementioned sufferings, I experienced the joy of triumphing over them. While I can't control what happens in my son's life, I will accept what the Lord brings and never forget the joy he has brought to my life on a daily basis because of him." And finally, the prayers for the life of faith prompts us to pray that you can be obedient to God's will despite suffering. Remember a friend or member of your family who has suffered for the good, and pray that they will be encouraged in their Christian journey. Lord, and I will pray, so let's pray. "Lord, I failed by giving into the flesh yesterday because of stress. Help me to be obedient to do to your will despite the suffering I am experiencing now. I pray for you to be with my son, Brennan, to bring into remembrance all the things he heard in the past when he went to church with me. Use whatever means to draw him out of the darkness of what he's walking in and bring him back to the light and prayerfully into a life of faith and trust in Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen." And finally, the prayer for today from today's devotional is, "Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that your will be done in me and in my life. Show me how to follow your way to the end. Amen." That brings us to today's Bible verse, which comes to us from the Quick Scripture Reference for Counseling by John G. Cruis. This morning's meditation verse comes from the section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. Today's verse is Proverbs 28:6, which says, "Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways." Today's verse is the second of three passages of Scripture that fall under the 15th point of our Counseling Reference Guide's resource section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. The 15th point is, don't wear yourself out to get rich. Well, today's verse highlights the importance of integrity, to do what is right even when no one is watching. Wealth and unrighteousness don't lead to happiness. Without Christ, they lead to death. And the Bible tells us it is better to live a righteous life of integrity without riches rather than to have it all financially and to walk in darkness. So let's agree with God's word and live lives of integrity and righteousness to give God glory. And finally, we always encourage all to go to mtforchrist.org, where we always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist our brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today, we continue sharing from According to Your Word, Morning and Evening Through the New Testament by Stephen F. Alford. And in Alford's devotional, he prompts us to read a chapter of Scripture every day, or twice a day, actually. And today's chapter is Luke 19. And from that chapter, he shares a portion of Luke 19:34, which says, "The Lord has need of him." And Stephen Alford writes, "The ass, or even the colt, was a beast of burden. It could carry valuable or valueless burdens. But on this particular occasion, the animal was required for the purpose of bearing a very important burden. The Lord had need of him. The Lord still requires beasts of burden, those upon whom he can lay important burdens. He says, 'Take my yoke upon you,' in Matthew 11:29, 'Carry my burden.'" Notice also how the answer of the disciples, or rather the Lord through his disciples, silenced those who tried to question their taking the colt. When the errand is a divinely controlled one, there is no stopping it. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. And Alford ends his devotional entry by sharing the simple prayer of, "Lord, here I am, send me," from Isaiah 6:8. Lord, send me. And that's the prayer of a disciple. We go where we have to go. And we do what we have to do. And we do it all according to the Lord's wisdom and, for his glory. And we will suffer when we do that. The enemy will come in and, I can't tell you how many faithful men of God I know that follow the Lord and want to encourage people to follow the Lord, and who have family that are walking away from, the Lord. As much as, we would love to stand on the, you and your whole household will be saved, from the passage in Acts about the jailer, who actually had his whole family saved. Faith is a very personal thing, and we can't make a blanket statement. You and all your family will be saved unless they decide, there's a condition. Unless they decide not to follow the Lord, then maybe not. So as for my kids, I can tell you they did go to church with me. They did, seem to put their faith in Jesus. But when I gave them the option of following the Lord on their own after they became 18 years old, they both chose not to follow. They don't attend church. They don't read the Bible. They're more or less secular people, in my home. I can't force faith, and I can't fix, what they think. I can only try to encourage them the best I can to do what's right. And unfortunately, my son, faced the harshness of, having to work to support himself, and I guess he didn't like that, and he quit his job and has been wallowing in purposelessness since, and to the point where his mood turn depressive and didn't take care of himself. And it caused me to try to get him to get help, which worked. But, you know, it didn't, apparently it wasn't too effective. I mean, how effective can two visits to a therapist for an hour or so be? Well, apparently not very effective because he was sharing suicidal statements online in some way that alerted the police. So, yikes. He's with his sister, and she's very supportive and loving. So I'm hoping that they can encourage him to, you know, get the help he needs and move on with his life. But we'll see. Yeah, so even when you walk with the Lord on a daily basis and enjoy his peace and joy, it doesn't mean that you won't suffer trials. And this is just another one of those. So we'll see. I'll be faithful in prayer and pray that the Lord will move things for good, as he usually does, as he always does, right? According to his word, for those who love him are called according to his purpose. So I love him and I want to do his purpose. So we're hoping that things will move to good, you know, and we trust the Lord regardless of outcomes, that what happens is according to his will. So we're going to surrender it all to the Lord and pray for things to change in a good way. And we'll be prepared to take the cup of suffering if it comes our way, no matter what. Because we've suffered greatly in our walk so far in following, and we're not changing now. And the Lord will guide us into what he would have us do. So let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've done in our lives, and we thank you for your presence that stays with us even in the midst of trials. Lord, we pray for you to be with our son Brennan today, to, you know, help him to get some help, to start thinking in good ways, and to find the hope that you have for everyone in this world, the hope of a new life in Christ. That's my hope and my prayer today. Lord, we also pray for anyone who's listening or reading today's message, you'd come alongside them in their prayer request and help them in their walk. And Lord, as we're going to work today, we pray for you to open our eyes and lead us in the way we should go. Help us to focus on the task at hand and to do a good job. Because we just want to represent you and your kingdom, Lord. And we're going to need all the help we can get with that. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we love you. And we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.